This is On the T-Box on THP Radio,
your number one source for golf equipment news.
Here's your host, the Dean of THP.
And there it is. Our holiday break is finally over, and I've been waiting way too long to say these words. Welcome everyone back to THP Radio for another exciting episode of On the T-Box. I'm your host, Dean, and back in the co-host chair with me is my fellow staff writer, James. You know, throughout our little break, James has produced some fantastic review articles that can be found on the THP homepage. So if you've missed those, take a few minutes, give them a read, let us know your thoughts. You can reach out to James on what you thought of those articles on the THP homepage, as well as on Twitter, under the handle at jman_THP. James, for the first time in 2017, welcome back to THP Radio for another go-around of On the T-Box.
I am ready. It's been a long break, so we've got an awful lot of stuff to talk about, especially as we encroach upon the PGA Show.
Yeah, we really do. And, you know, just in case there are some first-timers tuning in today, I'm going to give you a quick rundown of what the show is all about. On the T-Box is a golf podcast in which we discuss equipment, apparel, and accessories, really anything else that might come across our review desks. However, today we have something a bit different planned. James alluded to it. This week, it is the PGA Merchandise Show down in Orlando, Florida. And James, since you and I will both be on location throughout, I thought it would be a good idea to kick off the 2017 THP Radio season talking about coverage of the show, you know, what we're looking forward to see, what THP has in store for coverage, and pretty much all the equipment that we want to go there and drool over.
Oh, absolutely. The PGA Show is one of those places where it kind of gets an aura around it for those that have never been, and they just see the pictures of it whenever you walk in on the floor with all the companies and all the new products that are fixing to come out, and you really get a big chance to get to see them all in one single place, which is hard to do otherwise.
Yeah, it really is. So let's maybe start with just talking about some of the equipment that we're looking forward to seeing. Obviously, just last week, we saw TaylorMade come out with some new irons, the P770 and the P750. They also have a new M-Series lineup, the 2017 M1, the M2. They have the matching hybrids and fairway woods to go with that as well. They're also introducing the M1 irons, a new set of M2 irons, which bring back the face slot technology.
It was interesting to see that many products that are going to come through, especially on the irons. I mean, if you think back, what, 4 or 5 years ago, TaylorMade's iron department was killing it, really. And now it looks like maybe we're going to start to see a semblance of that again. We're seeing some uniformity with the woods, with them keeping the M1 name and the M2 name, and now bringing them both at the same time to make more sense to people. And I'm really excited to see up close exactly what they have done and what they haven't done.
Yeah, you know, they talk about that geoacoustic, hopefully I pronounced that right, technology they have, at least on the M2, to really kind of help the sound. You know, they've really scooped out the sole, and once you see it in hand, it certainly is interesting, and we will definitely have a lot of pictures of the entire M family lineup on the THP forum throughout this coming week.
Yeah, I mean, if any company puts an emphasis on sound as of late, it's been TaylorMade. So for them to take it even a step further, because a lot of people thought the M1 and the M2 were some of the better sounding metal woods out there, or unmetal wood, I guess I should say. It's going to be interesting to see exactly or hear exactly what's changed.
Yeah, it really is. And I like that they kept the M-Series name to it, you know, the 2017 M-Series. The curious thing for me with TaylorMade is the new release of the P770 and P750. Those are kind of tough for me to, you know, roll off my tongue. But it brings back the days of the Tour Preferred irons that we used to see from them. And I won't lie, I'm kind of digging the looks of what we've seen so far.
Oh, I think they're one of the cleaner set of irons we've seen out of them. I mean, there's no sole slots. There's no face slots. It's just a really, really clean looking iron. It's kind of a throwback for sure to really the first TP set that they released. Well, not the first, but what was that now? 6 years ago, probably? Yeah, within that range, at least.
2012, 2010, somewhere in that range. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's cool for them to go that direction, but more so I think the move for the 750s, which are tiny, tiny irons, if you've seen the pictures of them so far, to be a really limited set, basically special order only, whereas the 770s are going to be more readily available in the big box stores.
Yeah, so we're definitely looking forward to getting all the information out on those. You know, let's take a virtual stroll down the PGA Show floor. We'll take a stop at Callaway. You know, the Epic drivers have gotten a lot of talk. And on THP, we are part of an event called the Granddaddy, which saw Team Unity put those drivers in play out at the Hideaway in Palm Springs. And the reviews that these guys are having on the Epic drivers, they're really, really impressive talking about jailbreak technology.
Yeah, I'm curious to see what they're going to do at the booth, because you know they've always got something up their sleeve. We are talking about the company that had a tank a few years ago. So with jailbreak, I'm eager to see where it's going to go. But yeah, has there been a release in the last few years that's had this much buzz without having a true mass marketing scheme behind it? Because they haven't pushed this as much as they have in the past and other releases, as far as I'm concerned, or what I've read. What do you think?
You know, what we're seeing is more of the, you know, still the teaser part of it, flashing the date that it gets released and showing you the jailbreak bars. But it's definitely has a little bit of a different feel than what we saw with, you know, even Great Big Bertha, where they did Great Big Bertha Week, an entire week of marketing and media focused on one driver. It's been a little bit different this time, and who knows, maybe that's about to kick off at the show.
Yeah, and I mean, if you've paid attention in anywhere on the THP forums, pre-orders are going on like crazy, it seems like, and fittings everywhere. And the early feedback and early results, like you referred to earlier, has been really good. So there's a lot of curiosity around the Callaway booth. And I'm sure they've got a few other things up their sleeves that we may not be able to talk about just yet.
Yeah, there are a few things, I would imagine, some surprises. There always seems to be a few surprises at the PGA show. Who knows, maybe we can talk to what we're looking forward to on those might be surprises a little later on. James, I'm going to keep walking down this imaginative hallway that I'm at. And even though these guys usually aren't on the show floor, they have a little booth outside or a conference room outside. We're going to take a stop at Wilson Staff. You know, the Wilson Triton, the driver versus driver model, really made some waves. And I thought it was a big positive step for Wilson in terms of marketing and attention. But they're also releasing the D300 lineup, and both you and I have had those in our hands, you with the driver, me with the irons and the hybrid. You also have the Triton. And, you know, we always have a good time talking to Michael Verska about what Wilson has done with their products as well. So let's stop here, and we'll talk a little bit about what Wilson has.
Well, I mean, Wilson is on the path to trying to reestablish themselves. We've talked about that for the last few years, and they've been trying to find outside the box ways to do it. And I think driver versus driver, no matter if you personally liked it or didn't like it, it was extremely successful in getting Wilson Staff's name out there. I mean, after all, when have you heard that many ads or information on Wilson Staff on the Golf Channel other than that happening? It was everywhere, and it still kind of is. I mean, they still sponsor a lot of the tickers and everything going on whenever you're watching golf. So the Triton itself in that release was a really big deal for them, and it met a lot of positive feedback initially. Now, there was the USGA things that happened, but I think they've handled that as well as any company possibly could. The D300s kind of round out the line, right? This is the follow-up to the D200s, which were really successful irons for them. Those irons were extremely playable, and from all the feedback that I've read from you on the forum, the D300s are even more so.
Oh, man, the D300 irons, you want to talk about high launching. These things throw it so high in the air, and I know there's a lot of people out there who just talk about distance and lofts, and, you know, the only way you're achieving more distance is by strengthening the lofts. You're essentially making an 8-iron to a 7-iron. You know, you watch somebody, at least I watch somebody like me, and we've seen it at all the events and even the last few times we've played golf together. You can see these stronger lofted clubs really launch the ball up in the air because of where the weight placement is. And the D300s definitely do that. Yes, they have strong lofts, but I'll tell you what, I'll put that, we'll say a 7-iron. I'll put that 7-iron launch against another 7-irons, and I guarantee you I hit the D300 higher. Or if you want to talk about a club that I personally struggle with, either a 4-iron and sometimes a 5-iron, I struggle with making sure I get the right launch to those. I launched the 4 and 5-iron of that set so effortlessly. it's really fun to hit. And, you know, they have the power holes and the flex face that was on the C200 iron lineup, which was really well received, at least by our readers and listeners. And so I think the D300 irons will definitely be well received as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big trend for Wilson, showing that they're not afraid to step out there and do something different. Look at you've got the hybrid, I know, right? I have the driver and the micro vortex generators on the driver. Everybody talks about they look like whiskers, and they're further back than what we've seen on other clubs, than what we've seen Ping or what we've seen Callaway do. And the science behind it makes perfect sense. The object is, the goal is to try to keep the air attached to the club as long as you possibly can to reduce drag. Less drag means more speed. In their testing, putting these little dashes, if you will, on the crown have done just that. And during testing on my end, it's a really fast club, and that's the point of the D300 line. And then you round that out with the Triton driver, which can be super light, or it can be a more traditional weight for players and is maybe a fitter and tinkerer's best dream. There's a lot of good stuff going on in Wilson and the Wilson booth.
First off, I like to go with the technical term for the micro vortex generators. I call them the humps and bumps. I thought that's a good name for them. I'm actually holding the hybrid in my hand right now. You could maybe hear that right there. That's the Wilson hybrid. Yeah. You know, it's not, when I first saw pictures of it, I was like, well, that might look a little distracting. And then you talked me off a ledge and said, wait till you see them in hand. It's not as bad. And it really isn't. It's not a bad look. It differs a little bit from what we're seeing with, Callaway has the speed step and Ping has the turbulators. Those, to my eye, help me frame the ball a little bit. This doesn't have that. At least, you know, the driver does have an alignment aid, the hybrid does not. So it's a little strange on the hybrid, but I do like that they kept it on there because it really does complete the line from driver to fairway to hybrid.
Yeah, and the decision to stay with the matte crown, even though it seems like a lot of companies are switching away from it, I think that really helps the overall look with the micro vortex generators. So, I mean, it's a well-thought-out package. I wouldn't expect anything less from those guys. As we know, Verska's one of the brighter ones out there, and they're always constantly trying to find something new and different to help their clubs perform more and to help golfers perform better. And that's what's fun about it right now. It's a good time to be a golfer who loves technology.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned the Triton driver and the changes you can make. You're changing almost the entire soul of that club. You're going from the titanium to the carbon fiber. It's a big weight difference. It definitely changes the launch. You and I have been talking about your testing offline about that. And if anybody wants to talk about that as well, that discussion is not only offline, but it is online as well on the THP forum. So you can look up that thread and find James and some other players' thoughts on that driver as well. It's just fun. Like you say, there's a lot of technology out there, and that's one that definitely, you know, to my eyes, it looks like it would work with no problem. And I like the look of the carbon fiber sole plate as well.
Oh, yeah. I think the carbon fiber one looks the best overall, but they both create a completely different aesthetic. You and I have talked about the changes that I've seen, and it just finished up the review today, as a matter of fact, on the Triton. And I mean, I saw about a 500 RPM change going from one plate to the other, which is big. I mean, that's a big difference overall. And so the tech is real. The tech works. It wasn't just some gimmick for a TV show or anything else like this. This was a design that was unique and outside the box. And plus, let's be honest, the fact that you could pull the sole plate off and look all the way inside the middle of the club is pretty dang cool.
It's a tinkerer's dream. So let's leave Wilson's little booth here. Keep going down. And we're going to stop at a company who's really trying to make a push to come over to the North American market, and that is Hanma. I know you've had plenty of Hanma stuff lately. Now they have the Hanma Tour World TW737. Again, that's another mouthful, but the products are good, and we always see people on the internet, or if you want to call them internet golfers, really craving the JDM market and the JDM stuff and equipment, and Hanma's bringing that over to the U.S.
Yes, and I mean, Hanma traditionally is one of the highest end JDM lines out there. And with this push coming over here stateside, a lot of people were concerned about prices. Well, if they stay that high, who's really going to take a look at them? But they are coming right on in and are in line with all the other releases that are on the market. And man, we have seen some pretty stuff. Dan got to review one of the sets of the new Tour World irons, and they are some of the cleanest players cavities out there. I know you've got the new driver right now. I reviewed the one before that, and the performance is there. And it's kind of fun to see a titanium driver again and to get to hit a titanium-based driver again, because that's a sound that I think a lot of us knew and loved for a long time, and the push has been towards carbon fiber. So to kind of come back to that, it's a lot of fun.
It's kind of funny you say that, because in the review, I know you mentioned it in your review on the It was the 727, and on the 737, I talk about it as well, how that sound has kind of been lost. Like you said, everybody's going to lighter materials. Obviously, a little funny story for myself. I took a video to try to capture the sound for our listeners and our readers, and I had to edit it out, but one of them I absolutely smoked. And right after I hit it, I go, woo! Because I'm like, man, that sounded so sweet. I didn't want to really just throw that out there and completely embarrass myself. I'll talk about it on radio. But man, you hit it so good, and it just sounds, I want to say the word traditional, because it's been a while since we've heard that sound. It's really a good thing. And I also have one of the hybrids, and it's a little bit more of a player's hybrid. You can actually try to shape shots with it, which if you're the kind of person that shapes shots with a hybrid, you'd have a lot of fun with it. I'm not. I prefer kind of a more point and shoot kind of action with a hybrid, but trying to hit like low draws around trees or low cuts or put it high in the air really is a lot of fun. And like you said, the prices have been released are really going to be in line. So it's pretty exciting to see what they're going to have at the show, because they are really coming into the North American market.
Yeah, this is a big year for them. I mean, this is the push that they want to make, and they're bringing in my opinion, all the right people, and they're focused. It's cool, because as much of an aura as a company like Honma has around them traditionally with internet golfers, as we've said, and other golfers who love JDM brands, there's a lot of traditional edge to these clubs. I mean, the driver with the titanium, it's titanium's more expensive, and I mean, everything's a push towards more affordable and lighter and everything else, and Honma is just doing what they do, and they do it really well, and they stand up and they perform really good. So it's going to be fun to see exactly how they come into the show and what this next year is going to hold for them.
Yeah, it sure is going to be fun. All right, now, James, I think this might be our last booth for the night, and we will have more for the week for everybody. I want to talk about one that I know that has me pretty much drooling, and that is Ping, the new i200 irons that we've seen the pictures out there. They've made the announcement. They're official. It's kind of fun to see all of these other equipment announcements coming right around PGA Show Week. It's been a while for that, and it gives us a lot to talk about and a lot to look at. These irons are one that I want to race in and get a close hand look at.
Well, you know, I share your enthusiasm for Ping irons traditionally. And the i200s, at first glance, they are what I wanted the IE, IE, 01, 2, 4, 5, 6, whatevers that we just saw to be, because despite Ping's naming decisions, which have been hotly discussed on the THP forum, I think i200 fits, and I think the look is clean, and I think they're getting back to a Ping looking iron, if that makes sense, especially in this area, I hate to use it, but the game improvement type area that's not a G series iron. And it looks a lot to me like the 750 or the S55s did, and that's a good thing, except it's a bigger profile. So it's interesting to see Ping advance after the changes that they had take place as far as R&D goes, and with people leaving and changing companies and all that went on. And it's almost like Ping's irons may be getting back to where a lot of us like to see them get. And they look really interesting. I'm eager to see them in hand and to see if in hand they hold up as well as they do in pictures.
Yeah, really, really clean. You know, not any bright colors. You know, Ping's experimented with some different colors. Last year they toned it down, or with the IE irons, I should say, they toned it down to, you know, with just a blue. Now it's really just like a silver look to it. So really clean, and, you know, you can get them, the power spec lofts on them if you want. I'm really excited to see them. The old Ping iron lover in me really wants to get them in hand and see what they're all about, because it's pretty exciting. You know, they also have some new wedges coming out as well. So like I said, there's a lot of stuff that's coming out right around the PGA show, and we've been missing that for the last few years. There's been a couple of surprises, like I said earlier, but I feel like this year there's just a lot of stuff that we're going to be seeing and consumers are going to be seeing for the first time, and that's surely exciting.
Yeah, I mean, a few years ago, the show, and you could even talk to people at the show from different companies, it kind of lost its allure. And this year, you're right, it feels like some of that's back. I mean, we're going to know about a lot of the releases going into the show still. There's not going to be that complete unveiling of a line at the show. But this is so much different hearing about it a week before than where in past years we were hearing about it months before. So we already had seen the specs of it. We'd already seen all these pictures of all this stuff. And now there's a new excitement back about it, which I think the show needs. I really do. And it could make it one of the more interesting ones we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, it sure could. So let's take a break there. We're just about halfway through. We hope everybody's enjoying what you're hearing so far. And remember, you can subscribe to THP Radio both through iTunes and through Google Play. Also, we have something new and exciting that is out. THP has now launched a new iOS app. By downloading this app, you will have instant access to the THP homepage, THP TV, and THP Radio, wherever you will go. All of that access right in your pocket. So make sure you give it a download, and then drop by the forum and let us know your thoughts on the app. What do you like? What do you wish there was more of? And I'm going to tell you what, you're going to want to make sure you keep looking at that app, especially the THP TV stuff, because we've got some exciting coverage throughout this week coming that you guys are going to love. Now, James.
Yeah.
I could be wrong about this. This is going to be your third PGA show, right?
This will be number three.
This will be your third. This is going to be my fourth in a row. And every year I say it, I kind of say, that's it. I'm going to take a year off. Yet again, you know, we're preparing to get down to Florida and to go through this madness all over again. Besides the equipment, let's talk about the show itself. Well, what we look forward to, what we love, and really kind of give people a little bit of an inside look at what the PGA show is, because I think there's a lot of misconceptions out there of what this expo really is about.
Yeah, I think a lot of people picture just a great big gigantic swap meet, and that's not what this is. I mean, yeah, sure, some of the booths have swag and all of that, but really the show is more than that. I mean, it's companies showcasing what they do, why they do it, and why they're so passionate about it. My favorite part about it is actually getting to sit down and talk with all these people behind the scenes that you don't normally get to see. I mean, we see a lot of, in marketing, you see the club, you see what it is, and you don't get to talk a lot about the people behind it. It's gotten better with social media, but for me, the PGA show, that's always been the big focus of it. I mean, you get down and dirty about it, and you get a lot of honesty, and you get a lot of fun, and you get a lot of interesting information that you maybe otherwise wouldn't.
Yeah, dude, the first year I went, you were there as well. And I remember the first couple of days, I was like, oh my God, it's like we're in a fishbowl and you hear everything. And it's so much fun because you get, like you said, you get access to people that you don't normally get. Now, social media has changed even in just, you know, 3 or 4 years ago. It's changed a lot and the personalities come out. But, you know, you could sit down and you could talk with the Michael Verskas or the Yaglies or the Ted Galinas of Seymour and have an honest conversation about equipment, and not just their equipment, but talking about golf as a whole. It really is a bit enlightening.
Oh, yeah. And to see different viewpoints on things. And more than that, I mean, a lot of times you can get these different groups together and all just talking about golf and why they're passionate about golf. And it doesn't always focus just on the gear and just on the science. And I think that's a big part of it. And that's why the PGA show to me is such a big deal for the industry. And I want to see it get stronger. And I want to see it get better again and bigger like it used to be, because there's so much outside the lines, really, is a good way to put it, that goes into it that makes it what it is inside that building.
Yeah, and it's just filled with people who love the game. Yes, they might be brand loyal, and they might tell you that what you're going to do with this club is better with that club. Although a lot of that doesn't really go on. I think people do think there's some serious bad blood between some companies, but there really isn't. You know, everybody for the most part gets along because they're all there because they love the game of golf. So it's really fun when, you know, you're at a table with talking with somebody, you know, from Cleveland Golf, and then all of a sudden somebody from Cobra comes over, or somebody from TaylorMade is there, or Callaway, and like you said, it turns into kind of one big mosh pit of people from different club companies all within the industry and just having a conversation. And that's when I sit back and I'm just like, all right, I'm going to take it all in, because that's the kind of stuff you don't get anywhere else. And it's so much fun to hear.
Oh, yeah. I still remember my first show. I came in late. So it was after hours, and everybody was kind of, you know, everybody was going to have a meet and greet and whatever else and talk. And I didn't expect anything of it. And I walk in fresh off the airplane and showing up to the hotel. And there's I think it was Callaway and TaylorMade and Cobra and Seymour, and I can't remember who else, all sitting over there. And everyone's just talking about life. It wasn't even anything necessarily about golf. And that was kind of my aha moment, because prior to that, my buildup was, man, kid in a candy store, here we go, we're going to go into the show. And when you first walk in, don't get me wrong, it's impressive because you see so much in just one area. But it quickly becomes way more than that. And it makes all the work and all the hours well worth it, because we really enjoy bringing the coverage to the people. And this year we're going to turn it up a notch.
Yeah, we really are. And we're going to get to that in a little bit. It's funny you say your first time there. My first time there was pretty similar. You know, I got to the hotel late, and there was a big table of people. I'm going to say probably 20 to 25 people sitting at a table. So I sat at the only open seat it was, and I'm sitting across, and there's, like you say, one of the TaylorMade reps, and then I look next to me, and it's Harry Arnett. Now, Harry Arnett, everybody who follows golf on social media knows who Harry Arnett is. So I'm sitting there, and this is my first time, and I've got the big wide eyes, and I've got a Wilson Staff backpack that I had just gotten for Christmas the previous December. And he looks at it, and he's like, huh. Yeah, that looks kind of nice. Let's take a look. He looks at it, and he's like, yeah, quality. He's like, oh, man. I was like, what did I just do? Am I going to be in trouble for this? But so much fun. And then, you know, that next day was demo day. And demo day was something I was looking forward to, because you hear about the big oval at the driving range and seeing every piece of equipment out there. It really is something to behold to see, because you have everybody hitting into one center circle. And, you know, we go out and walk the oval, what do you want to say, 4, 5, 6 times. We just make sure we keep going around and hitting every company just to talk. We're not even doing as much video content that day, because we get better sound inside than we do out. But the demo day is really something special to see. You get to hear all the different noises of people clanging balls down the fairway there, down into the middle of the pit. It's definitely something different and something fun to experience.
It is, and it's cool to see how every company does it different. I mean, what, Cobra Puma's usually got a DJ, and the last time I went, Jesper was there because he had just come back to Cobra. And I mean, you get to see all these people, long drivers out there hitting balls, putting on a show for people in different booths. And I mean, the range itself is, what do you think, one of the most unique driving ranges around already, and now you're going to fill it with pretty much every company out there. It's really fun to see. And yeah, I think you're still short selling it with 6 or 7 times around, because I swear we've had to walk that thing 9 or 10 times.
Well, you know, I don't want to talk it up too much. So now let's talk about the coverage, James. This year, things are going to be a little bit different. In years past, we've been very video heavy and very photo heavy. And we've been pushing that stuff out throughout the days and that night, and having something for the next morning ready to go with interviews. And now this year, things are going to be a touch different. The coverage isn't going to come out as quickly. It is going to come out at a timely manner, but it's not going to be instant for the most part. And what we're going to have at the end, I don't really want to give the whole thing away, but what we're going to have at the end is something really special that I think the people who sit down and take the time to watch it are really going to enjoy what they see.
Yeah, I think what the people are going to see is something that's going to be a lot more deep overall. It's going to provide a lot more insight and a lot more information that a lot of people would probably want than just a really simple, quick blast of things. And yeah, like you said, it's going to be a timely manner afterwards. It's not going to be as much instant feedback. We're still going to have instant feedback as we go through things, and you're still going to be able to get updates on stuff. But this is going to be different. It's a good different. It's hard to not give stuff away. So that's why I'm just going to stick with the word a good different.
A good different is a good way to say it. I think it's going to be a much more polished coverage. I just want to let you guys know that everybody's been working really hard to make sure what we're about to produce is going to be well received by all of our readers, all of our followers, and hopefully we enjoy. Hopefully you enjoy what you see, because I want you to know that everybody here is working really, really hard, and we're trying to make a different take on things. You know, we always believe in moving forward. You have to change. If you stay stagnant, things aren't the best. So we're going to change it up this year. We're going to go in a different route, and we really do hope that people take the time to watch the coverage. You can still follow along on the forum. There is going to be a forum thread that's going to have pictures and some quick videos as well. We are going to keep doing the nightly recap shows, which will be a lot of fun, so you can tune in for that. But outside of that, it's going to be a different experience, and I keep saying it over and over again. We hope that you take the time to really wait for it and enjoy it when it comes out.
Yeah, it's absolutely going to be worth it, and I'm really, really excited and happy to be a part of it, and the work is going to be something that I think a lot of people are going to be kind of taken aback by whenever they finally get to see the finished products.
Yeah, it's really going to be hopefully something special, like we all hope it will be. All right, James, I'm going to go off the cuff. I want to hear.
Oh, Lord.
I want to hear from you. I know you love when we do this. I want to hear from you. So the show starts. You know, really, demo day is 2 days away. I want to hear from you, and I want to know what you're looking forward to seeing the most. Is there a product? Is there maybe a surprise that you're looking forward to see? Is there a company we didn't mention that might have something in the works, or you hope has something in the works? Let's hear.
Actually, there is, and I think, and I have absolutely no evidence to back this up, but I think we're going to see something, I hope, I guess would be a better way to put it, me being the putter addict than I am, that we're going to see something from Seymour. They've obviously gone all in on the mini putters, as far as the minis that aren't really minis, but they're called minis, with the oversize. And I'm curious to see what their next direction is going to be. You know me, I've been a long time Seymour player, and I've still got a lot of them in my collection, and I think this could be it could be a good year for them, depending on what they do. They're getting a lot of play by people who are having success. Obviously, ZJ, Russell Knox is also, he had a great year last year. So I think that's probably, if you made me pick one that's off the cuff and not just one of the big, big monster OEMs, I think Seymour would be the one that I'm going with.
Okay. I like that. You know, there's a couple things that I want to see. Obviously, it's that year for Titleist that we'll probably see an upgrade to Pro V1. It'd be nice to hear from them and hear what that's going to be all about. I like what we've seen in the teaser clips from Toulon Design, what they're going to do with some different putter shapes. I'm really looking forward to seeing that Indy, or the Indianapolis design, in hand. That thing looks pretty wild, and I'm a mallet guy, so I'm going to gravitate towards that. There's another company that I want to see something from. I don't know if they have anything in the works, because what they put out last year was pretty fantastic, in my opinion, and that's Bushnell. You know, last year was the Tour V4, and I don't know if they'll have anything new this year or not. I hope they do, because I enjoy their products a lot. I can't imagine what they would push out. Maybe something that you know, makes the GPS rangefinder that they had a few years ago, maybe make that a little smaller. That'd be pretty cool. I don't know where they're going to go, if they have anything, but that's definitely a booth that I always look forward to seeing.
Yeah, those are really good ones. I'm envious of the Toulon one, because I want to see what exactly Toulon and Odyssey together are going to combine for. I mean, we know the baseline of who's doing what, but now I want to start to see it and really, I mean, I guess, see their vision. And I think this is the beginning steps of that. You're excited about the Indy. I'm excited about the ATL. We just saw pictures of today, as a matter of fact, that they put up on social. there's some good stuff coming. There's a lot of fun stuff.
Yeah, there is a lot of fun stuff, and we're going to be here all week to share the fun stuff with the world, with our readers. Go ahead. You got something?
I'm going to interrupt you because I have another one.
Okay, let's hear it.
The new GC Quad from Foresight. Ah. I'm really, really curious about the GC Quad. There's a lot of buzz about that. We did an article on it providing some information, and I mean, we know what it's supposed to do, but I believe we're actually going to get to see it in action at the show. So hopefully we can answer all the questions that THPers have had, and there's been quite a few questions and quite a few interest in what's going on with it. I love technology like that. Launch monitors intrigue me, so that's a big release for them because the GC2 still used by most fitters throughout, well, everywhere.
Yeah, it's still used by fitters, and you know, this one's going to have the HMT, which used to, you know, the camera that used to clip onto the side of it. It's going to have it built right into it. Really an interesting product, and like you said, there was a write-up of it on our homepage, so if that interests any of you, which I, like you say, the interest in it has been pretty high. It's kind of amazing that there's been that much interest in a launch monitor, to be honest. But there's been a ton of interest. Make sure you take a minute and read that article. James wrote it, did a fantastic job giving you the lowdown of what the GC Quad is going to be all about. And as you can tell, we're both very, very excited to see that. And hopefully, like you say, we get to see a demo of it live and in person in the next few days.
See, that was a good interruption.
That was a good interruption. Now, don't ever do it again. And now that I've scolded James, that's going to be a wrap. I want to give James a big thank you, even though he interrupted me for co-hosting today. Remember, you could join us both on the THP forum to discuss and debate everything we talked about here. And of course, follow along on Twitter at Dean of THP and at JMan_THP. Don't forget to head over to iTunes or Google Play and subscribe to the Hacker's Paradise, as well as downloading the new THP Golf app if you're an Apple user. That way you'll never miss a new episode of The Golf Industry Uncut, The Dean Has Spoken, or the show you're listening to right now on the T-Box. While you're at it, take a minute to leave your feedback on what you have enjoyed so far of on the T-Box and what you're looking forward to hearing more of going forward in 2017. So for the first time for 2017, and myself and James, we hope you enjoyed this episode, and we look forward to meeting you again on the T-Box.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.